Part 56. Think Position. Our position in the Lord Jesus Christ is made up of two parts, death and life. Identification with him in his death issues in identification with him in his life. Spiritual growth is the result of the old man abiding in the death of the cross, and the new man abiding in the risen life of Christ. The way of the cross doesn't end at the cross. The principles on which our Father carries out his purposes in us are eternal and unchanging. He is the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning, James 1:17. He begins in the heights, goes down to the depths, and then returns to the heights. Let us consider this principle as illustrated in the work of the Lord Jesus. He came down to earth from his heavenly glory, John 17:4. He was made to be sin for us on the cross, and willingly died as the Redeemer, Romans 5:8. He took us down into his death to sin as our deliverer, Romans 6:4. He then brought us as new creations in himself to his eternal position in heaven, 2 Corinthians 5:17 and Ephesians 2:4-6. Oh yes, life, death, and then harvest. So we look at the different positions. Position above, position unknown, position appreciated, and position accepted. First, position above. Our Father begins by placing each believer above, in Christ, the very moment he repents and receives Jesus as his personal Saviour. Ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead, and you, being dead in your sins, hath he quickened or recreated together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. That's Colossians 2:12-13. Oh yes, your life is hid with Christ in God. Colossians 3:3. This is exactly where the Father has positioned every believer, whether or not he is aware of this wondrous fact, whether in service or out of service, whether victorious or defeated. Next, position unknown. Although the Christian has been positioned above, he is unaware of this fact when he comes to the Saviour at the foot of the cross. What he sees is that the penalty of his sin has been paid, and that he is thereby assured of his place in glory. Therefore, most new converts begin to live and to work for him from the motive of gratitude for their salvation. The usual exhortation they're given is, "Now get busy and serve the Lord." This they seek to do on the basis of the birth truths. From this inadequate ground, the majority of young Christians go down in defeat. Others, more thoroughly taught, move forward in the knowledge of their reconciliation to God, their acceptance in the Lord Jesus, as well as their completeness and eternal security in him. Even with this firm foundation on which to stand, they have yet to learn that more is needed. The resultant failure in trying to live these basic truths is the Father's preparation for the Christian to realise his need for deliverance. The Holy Spirit then begins to reveal the truths that will deliver him from this reign of sin, Romans 5:21. The Lord has promised that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, John 8:32. This freedom comes not from general truth in the Word, important though that is, but from specific truths. In the key book of Romans, nothing is said about growth until the problem of righteousness is completely settled. To the middle of Romans 5, The subject is justification from sins based on the substitutionary work of the Lord Jesus. And on this birth truth, many attempt to gain maturity. After Romans 5, verse 11, Scripture then begins to speak of justification of life and reigning in life, verses 17 and 18. The life we need for the Lord Jesus to be manifested. It's important to note that Romans chapter 1, verse 1 to chapter 5, verse 11 presents God's remedy for the penalty of sin, while Romans chapters 6 to 8 presents God's remedy for the power of sin. The blood secures forgiveness for my sins. The cross secures deliverance for me, the sinner. These are facts that not only bring new birth and promise heaven, but provide his overcoming resurrection life for the here and now. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. John 10, verse 10. And so we come to position appreciated. It is the captive, dominated by the wretched self-life, to whom the identification truths call. This struggling person, long plagued by doubt, defeat, discouragement and depression, is being prepared to enter into the reality of the provision set forth in Romans chapters 6 to 8. Through the experience of prolonged personal failure, he has been made aware of self-bankruptcy. In the light of that realization, he's able to appreciate the positional truth that self, the old man, was identified with the Lord Jesus in his crucifixion, Romans 6, verse 6. This is the gospel for the Christian, that our Saviour dealt not only with the symptoms, but with the disease. He dealt with the root as well as the fruit. We have his substitution for our sins, and we have identification with him in his death for our sinful self. Our Father takes us down until the self-life is uncovered, and then up as the truth of the Christ life is discovered. This spiritual principle cannot be circumvented. To attempt to climb up some other way is futile. God's truth, ministered in God's way by God's Spirit, alone frees. And that freedom is centred in our invulnerable position in Christ. The Holy Spirit knows what processing is required for each individual to learn that self deserves nothing but death, and that the Lord Jesus Christ is his life. To learn all the truth about the former takes a lifetime, to say the least. All the truth about the latter will not be exhausted throughout eternity. Hence, he patiently teaches enough about self through failure to enable us to learn of Christ for triumph. And finally, position accepted. Through the work of the cross, our Father has not only positionally freed us and made each of us accepted in the Beloved, as seen in Ephesians 1:6, but has also made us complete in him. For it is in Christ that the fullness of God's nature dwells embodied, and in him you are made complete. Colossians 2:9. It is in him we are to abide. He is the very source of our Christian life. To abide is to remain where one has already been enlifted and positioned. It is in him that we rest and fellowship and grow far above all. Where is the Lord Jesus today? Well, he's risen. and sat at the right hand of the Father, Ephesians 1:20. It is when the Christian understands his death position that he is enabled to see his life position in the risen Lord Jesus. Therefore he counts himself recreated and alive to God in Jesus Christ, Romans 6 verse 11. The believer's enlightened faith follows effortlessly because he now sees himself exactly where he's been positioned all along. For you are dead, that is, dead unto the old self-life at Calvary. And your life, your new creation, your life raised in his resurrection and ascension, your life is hid with Christ in God, Colossians 3 verse 3. Now he can begin walking in newness of life, Romans 6 verse 4. When the Holy Spirit gives us adequate apprehension of our risen position, we are able spontaneously to reckon ourselves alive unto God in Jesus Christ. And thus we are drawn to the source of our life. And there we learn to rest and abide above.